Hi, everybody. My name is Josh Nason, and this is Josh Nason's Punch-Out here on WrestlingObserver.com. Welcome back. It's been a while. The hope of this episode will be worth the wait. Actually, I know it's going to be worth the wait. Joining me this week, very special guest, someone I've wanted to have on for quite some time. We were able to make it happen, AEW's Swerve Strickland. Swerve has been all over the place. He's been in a ton of promotions since getting his release from WWE back at the end of last year. You've seen him in, obviously, AEW, MLW, New Japan, all types of promotions. Defy, we just talked to Matt Farmer here, about a month ago or so, give or take. And I wanted to talk to Swerve about all kinds of things. I think he's a fascinating character, someone that is genuine, seems what you see is what you get. And there's no doubt that when you see him on TV, it is Swerve Strickland. There's no playing a character. It is who it is. And so we talked about all kinds of stuff. We talked about that. We talked about why he signed with AEW to begin with, truly being an independent contractor, working all these different promotions, how he chooses which promotions to work with outside of AEW, also his budding music career, movies as well, and all these different things he does, and some comparisons I make to the one and only Chris Jericho. So without further ado, let's get right to it. Yours truly, and Swerve Strickland. We enter Swerve's house. We go to my house as well. In this episode of Josh Nason's Punch Out. Enjoy. So my guest this week, he's not only a fast rising star in the world of pro wrestling, but he is a musician. He's a podcaster. He's an actor, he's a director, and a whole lot more. And whether you've seen him in Defy Wrestling on Pluto TV last Saturday, Wrestling Revolver, or Warrior Wrestling on Fight TV, WWE, and NXT in the past, New Japan Strong, MLW, or now in AEW, you know this man, Swerve Strickland. Swerve, I know that we're all in your house, especially when it comes to pro wrestling and everything, but I appreciate you coming to my house for a little while. Thanks for stopping by.
Appreciate the invite, man. The hospitality is great in here, man.
Yeah,
it's for real.
It's good stuff. Yeah. I've wanted to talk to you for a while, but and kind of reading over, doing some more research and reading over the intro and putting it together. One comparison kind of comes to mind, and obviously in ring you haven't worked as long as him, but as far as all the different things you're doing, this comparison comes to mind is Chris Jericho, because Chris Jericho has done some comedy. He's done some acting. He has done improv stuff. He's written books. He has a podcast. He's a musician. And I look at your career and kind of what you're really doing now with all these different interests and everything. It's to me, I see there's a comparison there in terms of always hustling, keeping busy, and trying new things all the time, and doing things that you're just learning about and giving things a whirl.
I would say me and Jericho are very cut from the same cloth of type of people, type of entertainers. Him using the term sports entertainer now in AEW is like, it's very parallel to who he is. He's a actual entertainer because of all these other things that he integrates himself into. And I've been growing up studying. I was just on the Jericho podcast actually recently talking with them. And I grew up, let him know, I grew up listening to his, when reading his books as well.
Oh, yeah.
And that really shaped me as like a child, adolescent, going into the adult world of like what I wanted to be. And just like, he never limited himself. He always asked for more, demanded more from himself. He never wanted to limit himself in anything. And I guess like I just instilled that early on when in my wrestling training, I never knew that I wanted to get into like music and everything like that, or like that early. But I knew when I started wrestling and like really studying on like a lot of the greats, my favorites, like Shawn Michaels, Edge, Mysterio, Guerrero, Jericho, like reading these guys' books and Bret Hart books and everything like that. They always had it instilled in them that they never wanted to settle for less, and they always wanted to, they never feared the unknown. Like, would they be good or successful at trying these other ventures? And they never had any fear about that or fear of failing at it. So they all equally just, they all evolved too. They never stayed the same. They always evolved into bigger, larger than life presences in the industry of just entertainment in general. I can't just say like just wrestling, just all of those guys in entertainment have always evolved, you know, and I always wanted to be that. I always made sure that was like the genesis of who Swerve was going to be.
Yeah. That fear of failing. It's interesting you mentioned that because there's so often in pro wrestling and really in any form or fashion, you have the people that are either they go this way or this way when it comes to kind of those forks in the road and they go towards the people that are really successful and try different things. They do things that scare them, right? And it's almost like, I don't know if I can do this, but you know what? I'm going to try anyway. And wrestling's a big thing of that, but music and obviously, you know, acting, we'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, do you find that you gravitate towards things that kind of scare you a little bit? And maybe you're like, I don't know if I can do this, but I'm just going to do this and see what happens because it's me.
For me, it's things that I'm passionate about, things that are like things that I can't keep off my mind. They always just kind of circulate back to like me. It's just like inspiring to me.
Yeah.
Like podcasting for a while, I was just like reading books on like Charlemagne the God and listening to like the Vlad TVs, the Breakfast Clubs, the Flagrant Twos, Kazim, a good friend of mine, and his Say Less with Kaz, Lowe and Rosie, and listening to Brilliant Idiots and all these guys like Andrew Schultz, and I'm just listening to these guys for so many years. I was just like, yo, they have the same thought process that I do. I don't feel so like I don't feel so alone, or like I don't feel like I'm sometimes when you have thoughts and you have these ideas and your philosophies and stuff, you question if you're right sometimes. And when you're hearing like multiple different platforms of people that of importance and that big time entertainers in this industry and stuff, and that you kind of like your ideas and your philosophies and your theories are kind of synced up with these people, you kind of can't help but like oh man, okay, I'm not so crazy after all for thinking this. Yeah. I'm not so wild for like feeling this way, so okay, that I am on the right path. And they just further make you appreciate and understand like, oh no, you're doing the right things. You're thinking the right things because we think the same thing too. And we've been taught this from these people. And then those people were taught this from those people. So you're in that same room of thought with these like great people in these industries. That's where I really started getting inspired to do media and break out into the Swerve City podcast and partnering up with Montese, who had the same thought process and has the same like experience and background with like Sharmella Durant, rest in peace, and him being mentored by Busta Rhymes and him being signed to Rough Rider and being in the studio with like DMX and Drag On at like 17 years old. He's been unseen some things, and me sharing the same process, we're not having the same experience with him, but we think and really discuss the same things and have the same views and mindsets of things. It's like, okay, this is stars aligning at this point. So it's not even just like trying something that's I'm afraid of failing at. It's just like, no, let me really dip my toe in it and then feel the comfort of it. And even if it's like, oh, we didn't hit really good on this one, let's try it again and go even deeper now. I don't feel like we invested as much as we should have. Let's go even deeper and double down on the last attempt and double down on that. And then we start seeing success with it. We start cashing out, you know?
Yep. I hear you. When you meet people for the first time, say someone didn't know you from wrestling at all, you meet them on the street. Do you consider yourself or introduce yourself as like an entertainer first? That happens, pro wrestling is one of the many things you do. Or do you think of yourself, introduce yourself as pro wrestler first and you happen to do some of these things on the side?
Pro wrestler is like my number one because that's truly what got me to the position that I'm at. That was my first passion, my first love of in the entertainment industry. You know, so yep. That's my primary. Music and all these other things, I feel like when people peel back the layers of me as a pro wrestler, they don't see pro wrestling anymore. But me introducing them myself as a pro wrestler, and they're like, oh, what are you doing out here at the Grammys? I was like, oh, well, I'll do this and this and this and this and this. And then they're like, oh, wow, hold up. I look at pro wrestling completely different now. And that's what the goal is. Because there's a stigma about like a pro wrestler. Mm-hmm. Oh, they don't look like me. I look like a Travis Scott or ASAP Rocky or, you know, these guys, you know, I look like that. Or they wouldn't match those two visuals together. That's why I'm kind of proud of the persona that I created and really truly going further and further into, because people are starting to understand and like, I'm kind of breaking and cracking the mold a little bit.
Yes. You know? Yeah. So that's one of the things that really, it really stands out. And when I was doing this year in review series for 2021, and it came to the month that, you know, you and the rest of Hit Row got released, Andrew Thompson of Post Wrestling was on with me. And one of the things that he mentioned, and it's completely true, is that the whole group, everyone seemed authentic. There was no, as he put it, no kind of corny rap like you might imagine if somebody was writing it up that didn't really understand. Everything felt authentic, from the look, how you guys talk in ring, everything worked. And that's translated for me like over to AEW. When I see you, and I see you in social media videos, in ring promos, I don't get the sense that you're playing a character. I get the sense I'm seeing Swerve Strickland. I'm seeing, this is who I am. And you seem like being in complete control of who you are, who you want, who kind of what you want to be at this stage in your life and your career. Is that pretty accurate?
Yes, I would hope that's like what I put off, you know. Yeah. That's like, you know, that's the goal for me, you know, as like putting these, like all these little ideas together, you know, like for me, it was always about continuity. Like the music has to match the look has to match my voice has to match the walk has to match the apparel has to match the gear has to match the sound, you know, like all these things have to go coincide with one another for it all to feel authentic. If one thing's off, then you kind of like lose all sense of it, you know, like even like all, and these are all things I think of from backstage, walking all the way to the entrance, all the way to before I even get to the ring, you know, like the way I do a backstage interview, the way I talk should look like the way I sound. I mean, the way I talk should look like the way I look. Mm-hmm. It's like the way I look, I should say. My mannerisms, the way I discuss things, like the little tics, me reacting to the person insulting me, me reacting to bad news, me reacting to good news, to sad news, to, you know, all these things I have to feel like this is how Swerve would react to these things, you know, that I have to put, like, I have to kind of go into another door in my mind to bring that to life.
Where do you take the inspiration from for your style? Obviously you think about a lot, and you know, I think some wrestlers may not, and that shows, but I think again, kind of the complete control as far as who you are. I think it's one of the reasons too people have taken to you so quickly on this stage, is they're like, this cool, this is a cool look. Where do you kind of get your inspiration for your style and kind of who you are?
So I'm in my Swerve City podcast studio right now. It's in my house in Orlando, Florida.
Yep.
And I, just to like design and like really flesh out the, ambiance of my studio, I have a podcast side and I have a music side. And we actually record music here sometimes in the studio as well. Like on my wall, I have ASAP Rocky, who's a visual artist, and he has his own unique sound to him. Like you look at him and you look at his album covers and you hear, to me, I hear the sound of his music before I even turn the music on. Then I have TDE, Top Dog Entertainment, with Kendrick Lamar, Schoolboy Q, J-Rock, and Absol underneath them. On the right, there's a Travis Scott poster. Next to him, there's a Kanye West poster. Below him, there's Lupe Fiasco. Above them, Eminem. To the right, Childish Gambino. Above him, Tyler Creator. All these are like different mindsets and different philosophies and different theories of music and rap, but they all have a visual that goes along with them. Like none of them are just like rapping over a beat.
Right.
Even though they're all great rappers, all great artists, but they all have a visual aesthetic to all of their music. And you can say these names and you automatically know how they're going to dress as well. It's not like none of them are, and they all have growth too. They've all evolved. They, from day one, they don't look like day 6,000. you know, they've all been in around for so long. So it's kind of like, I kind of tap into each mind a little bit to create Swerve. You know what I mean? Like I want a visual with everything that I do. That's the inspiration for me changing up my hairstyle, going to like, the grill in my mouth and going like growing my hair out even longer, switching over to the pants and stuff. I was watching, Demolition Man.
Yeah.
And I love the Simon Phoenix character from Wesley Snipes.
Yep.
And I thought it was just like, he was just a heel villain character that was so charismatic. I just couldn't take my eyes off of him. He was doing horrible, terrible, bad things, but I couldn't wait to see the next scene. I wanted to see him more, you know, and I feel like having that charisma on screen, being so bright, colorful, but the bad guy in fish out of water type scenario, as far as the world in the future, he just doesn't fit in because it's such a peaceful world. And he's such a villain doing diabolical stuff that just, and that just like registered with me in such a way. That's where I switched over and started like and created the look. And then that's where the studio promos and NXT really started coming from based off of that. And so the NXT writing team and creative team started going off of just me changing on my own. And then they got it and understood it without really having crazy conversation. Then they start adding more. And then they really understood and believed in it. And then Triple H said, take the script away. And so I was just going off on my own. So that's how, just as simple as like creating a visual and an aesthetic that matches, and then everything else falls in order because they understand that nucleus of what you're doing.
Yeah. When it comes to, you know, you had a lot of choices when you were released, and anyone that's seen you before knows that you weren't going to be out there too long in terms of not having work, so to speak. And when it comes to AEW and signing with them, what stood out to you in terms of why you wanted to make that one of your, I guess, your primary home in terms of in-ring right now? What stood out about them versus, you know, other offers you may have got or other groups you may have talked to?
Production is just the biggest production that we could have, that you can have, and it was all at your disposal. I always been a fan of New Japan, but there's things that, as far as like great matches, I can have great matches in New Japan all day. But for me and like my podcast and my music and branching off into acting and bringing like crossover appeal, there's not much you can really do in New Japan as far as that. Ring of Honor, it was announced that they were having their final show soon. So there's no growth with that as well for me. Impact Wrestling is like doing it very well, but I don't see the big picture appeal with an Impact, you know, because I just look at it as just like, I don't want to just have great matches or whatever. Like, to me, that's the given. You should be able to have good matches at this point in my career. I should be able to have good matches wherever I go, you know, but I'm always looking for like how big can I really make it? I always want to take it to the max. Like, once again, I was talking about my podcast career is just like, okay, I dipped the toe in. Now I'm like fully engulfed into this media thing. Now I feel like, what's the next level of that? Like, how much further can I go with the music career? How much further and deeper can I go? You know, like it was just like making an album or two with my friend in the studio. Now it's like, okay, now we can get like big features, big music videos, like bring the production up, and then, oh, at the Grammys, okay, how can I maximize all these things? What's a promotion that I can truly maximize all these things? And AEW and Tony Khan, having the conversation with him before signing with AEW, that fully solidified it for me because he understands the vision and my purpose and had the best way to utilize all these tools that he has at his disposal for me to utilize as a star and an employee.
The one thing unique about AEW contracts too, compared to where you've worked before in WWE, was AEW, really, it's like you're a true independent contractor. Like, since in the past couple of months, or since the cut, I mean, you work for AEW, New Japan, MLW, Pro Wrestling Revolver, Defy, OTT, Progress, Terminus, Ring of Honor, and Warrior Wrestling. Like you're active all over the place and every weekend. I mean, you had 8 matches in April alone, which is the most you've had per month in like a long time. It's kind of going through Cage Match, and you've been kind of really busy, which is awesome to see. Does that ability to kind of be a true independent contractor, was that appealing to you as a free agent?
It was what was appealing was the choice to have it, that kind of thing to do. Like I could just like kill all those dates and just like, I'm just committed to AEW. I could do that too. But the fact that I have the choice to go out there and work all these places and perform like that, that's what was the appeal to me.
How do you decide what bookings to take outside? Because you've had, you know, obviously interesting matches. The Pro Wrestling Revolver show that you just did, you headlined against Athena. It was a themed kind of pay-per-view. Swerve's House, so it was on Fight TV. And interesting matches, Warrior Wrestling you just did. And obviously the Ring of Honor thing is completely separate in a way. But how do you decide what matches and bookings to take outside AEW? What's kind of your thought process there?
For me, is the amount of eyes that are seeing it. I don't want to just have a match somewhere and it's not seen. Then I'm not utilizing my growth and my position as a performer. You know, like Defy is always a home, is a home for me. I love going back to Seattle. I love giving back to the Pacific Northwest and like building something with like a Nick Wayne. And like having Darby coming out there and being some part of something that special and big, like it just caught fire across the wrestling world. You know, I want to be where the fire is. That's where what persuades me to go take these bookings, like going to Pro Wrestling Revolver, Sammy Callahan, one of my greatest mentors in professional wrestling career, you know, being with Fight TV, the relationship I have with them, like naming the event Swerve's House, having me and Montese, Swerve City, our song Talk Too Much be the theme song of the pay-per-view, you know, that's a big deal. So that's another fire. And then doing a dream match like me versus Athena, you know, the current Warriors wrestling champion, women's champion, it's like you can't see that anywhere else. So that's creating a fire right there. That's like creating something special in all these places that you can only see it at that place, you know? So that was like the importance of me going to certain places and doing the book, and especially in Progress, which is like, to me, is still one of the meccas of the UK. Them, Rev Pro, like an OTT stadium show with RVD on it and stuff like that. Like those were the first places that really brought me over and made me like one of the family over the UK, you know, and doing all these places as an African American in the position that I am, like I can't ignore that. That's really important for me as well, to be placed in like the hot and premier spots on these big, big shows. Like I also want to do that for the culture as well. Like with the Swerve City podcast, like there's no other podcast hosted like by African Americans in the wrestling world that are doing what we're doing. Yeah. You know, we have 10 episodes on Peacock still, you know, that were on the WWE network before that. You know, we were interviewing WWE champions, you know, Pat McAfee's and like future like Hall of Famers were on our show. Charlotte Flair, Bayley, you know, Kofi Kingston, like we did that on our own independently. And you know, like that's something that a lot of people, when I go overseas and go to all these shows and do signings and stuff, they really appreciate that. And they see that, and that inspires them, because it's like people of color that are really like bleeding these worlds together and doing stuff that nobody else thought like was even brave enough to try it or like do it in the corporate WWE world, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, once again, it's like those, we're kind of groundbreaking with doing these things, like with the media. You know, I want to continue to do that, and once again, see how far I can push it. And yeah, I can only push it so far as the promotion is allowing it, or as far as the promotion is growing to, you know, catapult that. You know, we just had Tony Khan on last night. That's air next Monday on May 9th. on our YouTube channel, Swerve City Podcast, you know? So that's a billionaire. Like, we had a billionaire on our show. So, and he's, you know, after the draft, and I'm the number one pick in the NFL draft, you know, it's big stuff.
That show, so you mentioned having the podcast on WWE Network and Peacock before. Is that something that you may, you know, if AEW gets a streaming service or you get an offer somewhere else, that might be something you're looking to do and package somewhere and do that still, or do have it kind of that similar way?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm pretty sure, like, it's more valuable now than it was then. So anything's possible. Like, this, once again, it's growth and progression.
Yeah. You know? So you mentioned the Darby Allin match from last Friday on Rampage. I told you before we started recording, I just talked to Matt Farmer for Defy Wrestling. We did a whole, you know, half hour, 40 minutes on History Defy and kind of their rise on a national stage. And we're talking about, you know, their very first show. And if I have this right, you main evented their very first show against Cody Rhodes, of all people, for a GFW. I can't remember what title it was, but like Global Force Wrestling title, it doesn't exist anymore. That's pretty crazy. I mean, you go all the way back there, and then, you know, you have a great match against Darby Allin, your friend from and train partner and wrestler and buddy from the Pacific Northwest. That must have really meant something for both of you guys to have that opportunity to see how far both of you guys have come in a short amount of time on national TV.
Absolutely. It felt like we just picked up where we left off as well. Like, the chemistry has always been there. Our mindsets are always just side by side with one another. We understand the assignment every time, you know. I feel like we opened a lot of eyes, but at the same time, we left a lot to be desired with the audience as well. We wanted to make sure, like, we give them enough to be like, oh man, this is something different and like special between these two guys. And they just know each other so well. So we're creating a story, telling an old story, creating a new story, and then leaving them wanting more. And that's what you want. And I feel like, that's the traditional sense of what pro wrestling is leaving the audience to see it again, rather than like blowing the load the first time.
Right.
And giving it all out there on the very first appearance, you know, like people can look on YouTube and see what we've done before, but this is a national audience now that we still got to rewrite and tell this whole new story. Like, this is an adult version of Swerve. This is an adult version of Darby. This is an indie darling Darby anymore. This is Darby. And then there's Sting, an icon legend in the midst of this as well. So there's a lot of different ways we can write a whole new, not just a whole new chapter, but an entire new book and start a whole new series, you know, just exclusively for the national audience that are just viewing us for the first time.
Yeah. I think we're probably going to see that match definitely again, and probably bigger stakes in the line in the future. It was great. And your one of the Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor, I thought your match with Alex Zane was awesome. I think it was it got overlooked, I think, just because there was so much great stuff, the FTR match on that show, so many other good stuff during WrestleMania weekend. But I was that stood out. Your match, I was in the house in Boston a few weeks ago, and you were there. Seeing you in person in that stage was great. Your body control in the ring is incredible. It's like you're floating. It's something I haven't seen from like a 6'1" guy in quite some time. And I'm sure people will say that there's other examples of this. I mean, your body control it's ridiculous. I don't know how. I don't know if it's possible to be taught, if it's just inherent to you and your skill set, but the Alex Zane match, I thought it was really in display. You have a way of moving that is unlike a lot of people your size in the game today.
Thank you. It took me not watching wrestling and watching other forms of combat, other forms of entertainment, other forms of just like maneuvering, and understanding your body and knowing what its capabilities are. Like, I can't do a shooting star press. Never could, never will, probably will never even try to attempt it.
Oh, no kidding.
So, like, And to like you, and you praise like the fact that I have like great body control, like I have limitations to it too, and I know my limitations. So to me, knowing how far to push it and what I'm actually good at with controlling my body and how different ways I can use it and what's uniquely different to what other people are doing, I feel like that's my advantage. Just understanding and being real with myself. And I'm like, that's beyond my capabilities. I'm not comfortable, or I don't feel like I do it as well as this guy. I don't do this as well as this guy does it. So I'm not even going to try to run that race with a Phoenix or a Ricochet or an Angelico, a Dante Martin. And like, you know, there's just endless amount, like a Pac, you know, mm-hmm. like those guys have been doing it so well for so long that even if I try to do, even a Matt Sydal, who's innovated a lot of this, like there's no point in me trying to compete with that. So I just trying to find ways I just maneuver in a different way and try to find ways to manipulate body parts and my opponents and myself in a different way that's so unique that nobody else has done it or thinks of. Sometimes I don't even like study things. I just like kind of like make it up as I go.
Yeah.
That's where I'm like at right now in my mental, as far as like putting things together. I'm also a very counter-based wrestler. So a lot of times when like whatever this guy's doing, I kind of figure out how my body moves based off that other person, which makes me like, I feel like I'm one of the most adaptable people in the ring in this industry, because I kind of counterbase a lot of my stuff based on the other opponent. So I kind of can work with anybody. The style that I do works with everybody in a sense.
Yeah. The greatest athletes in the world always talk about how when they're out there in the field, they're in the ring, cage, whatever, they talk about how they don't, they turn their brains off and they just kind of go on instinct. Do you feel like that's what you do in the ring? Do you kind of just free your mind and not try to focus too much on move to move? But again, to your point, just kind of feeling out the other person's doing and kind of go
from
there. I feel
out the audience. I feel out the cameras. I feel out where the ring is. I feel out, like some people say, like they work the pops of the crowd. Yep. I don't work the pops of the crowd. I expect the crowd to pop on certain things. I work the reactions of the crowd, which there's a big difference. And like chopping someone and them going woo, that's popping a crowd. That's working the pops. But me pulling someone's hair or grinding my forearm in their nose or in their cheekbone right above below their eye and hearing oh come on, that's working the reaction.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, okay, I got them to react in a positive way, negative way, emotional way, a sad way. Is he cheering for me? Is he cheering for him now? Is he like, does he want me to stop? Does he want me to keep going? That's where my mind as a performer really turned, was like working the reactions of not just the crowd itself, but people in the audience. You know what I mean? Like this person emotionally has a tie to what I just did right now. So now I'm going to explore that and navigate through like, what else can I do? What other maneuvers? How is my opponent reacting and trying to get away? How do I counter that? How do I create movement without, in a sense that's just like beneficial to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like all these elements that like I just turn my brain into, not just like pro wrestling. I turn it into combat with another person, interaction with another person, and how people are seeing and reviewing and accepting it, and how can I manipulate that?
Yep. One person I think a lot of people would like to see you do that to, and you alluded to potential of this maybe in the future, a tweet with yourself and Will Ospreay, who I think people listening to this show will know. A lot of people caught fire on that and were like, yes, I didn't realize I need to see this, but now I do. That'd be a fun match I think you'd love to have someday, huh?
Oh, yeah. Like, I've been wrestling Will Ospreay since, like, 2014. I wrestled him when he was, like, a 19-year-old kid. And stuff. So like, honestly, he tells the story often. Like, he's like, he never did a Spanish fly until he met me. I did a Spanish fly in our four-way match, I believe, in like 2014 in the UK.
Yeah. So yeah, I think
thing in the world. Yeah. I want to. So now he starts doing the Spanish Fly because of the tour I had in back then.
So now seeing, and then we had, he
was my first Progress match too. When I first came over to Progress, you know, he put in a word and, I debuted in Progress against Will, and which I beat him actually. And this is right after, this is fresh off his, Super Juniors win, the first one. So we have a history, a long history together with one another. I feel like the last time we were in the ring was in the New Orleans WrestleMania weekend. It was a four-way, me, Adam Brooks, Will Ospreay, and Sammy Guevara. Mm. And so we had that four-way. That was like the last time we were ever in the ring together. And he's grown exponentially since then. When we took that picture, he had a barn burner of a match with Blake Christian. Was just, I just wrestled Blake Christian the month before at New Japan Strong. So seeing in my opinion, he's the best wrestler in the world easily. It's like not even close. The type of explosion that he has in the ring is crazy. He's an adult now. He's not a kid when I first started like breaking in with him and stuff. So I feel like that match would be insane no matter where you put it on, no matter what platform. And for me, I'll try to make it as unique as possible, where it's like, you can't just have, oh, this is a Will Ospreay match, insert wrestler here. Like, no, this is a Will Ospreay, Swerve Strickland match that these type of things that are doing in the ring, nobody else can do. And the story that they're telling, nobody else can tell. These are specifically between these two individuals.
A couple of things before we wrap up. I mentioned acting. You posted on Instagram a little while ago about, you're in Los Angeles filming a horror film called You Promised, and you were doing some, you were on the floor and some blood, I believe, was around you and so on. And how did the acting opportunity come up, and what can you tell us about the movie?
The film is called You Promised. It's a short film. We filmed it out in Ventura, California. That was one of those music connections. A buddy of mine that we worked in the studio, he just connected with all these people. His friend of his that shoots films, does a lot of films, like a lot of short films, and mainly based in horror. We were supposed to do it together, but he got called to go. My friend of mine got called to go do a performance out in San Diego that weekend. So, you know, just being primarily me in this role. And so they switched around some of the actors and the roles and the producers and stuff to actually act in the scenes. And I got put into another big role. And it was directed by a friend of mine, Matthew Hirsch. Check him out. He's a really, really talented individual and like really blowing up in the directing game as far as like horror film and short film. I don't want to spoil too much about it, but there's a lot of supernatural drug dealing / crime oriented espionage type of genre. So it's, we're mixing multiple different genres involved in it. You know, I'm a bad guy in it. So it was really, really great experience. I can't wait for it to come out. I'm not sure when exactly it is. They're going to probably put out some information when it's going to be released soon. But yeah, like I pretty much get dragged across the floor by the throat of a ghost. That's the scene that y'all see me putting out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Who hasn't had that happen to before? Right.
You know, it's a common thing.
That's good. Yeah. Did you get the acting bug? I mean, a prior wrestling kind of is acting obviously with promos and things like that, but it's different. Do you have a taste to do this again?
Oh yeah. I want to jump into as many things as possible. Like once that's one of those dip the toe in type of things that we were discussing earlier. I actually, the little bit of acting that I have done prior to this was on the Lucha Underground. That's where I really got the acting bug then, you know, for shooting a lot of the scenes that we did then, which was so much so unique to pro wrestling, you know? So I know for me, I was always intrigued by it, doing that, like just doing the stunt work that I had to do and fight scenes and choreography and the vignettes I did as Killshot is where I was like, oh man, this is a whole different world. And I'm actually into all of this. I want to do more of this.
Yep. Nice. And also another thing, touring. You mentioned you have your album out, Tears. We talked about music a little bit on this. And I saw a post the other day talking about touring and get in contact with your management team, and that you're looking to do some touring with Montese and crew and everything. Is it, what's happening with that?
So this was something that Montese just brought up on the podcast last night. There's going to be more information about this coming up soon. He's pretty much managing this entire tour with a lady that was a good connection from our artist, EJ, a friend of ours who books a lot of events, Strizzo. He got us in contact with these guys. She does a lot of, she books tours and performances from Yellow Wolf and Bubba Sparks and among a lot, many other artists that have been like super, super hot in the day. So I'm looking forward to actually getting more information about like actual dates for lockdown. And trust me, if you follow my social media, Swerve Confident on both platforms, or TZ Jones, my TZ friend of my, my partner in Swerve City, you'll pretty much get all the information you'll need. We're going to put it out there. That's for sure.
Yeah. And then you hit up the Grammys, I believe, for the first time ever this year, and looking good as always. I loved your boots. I got to tell you that they were great.
Thank you.
It was that must have been a cool experience. I know from watching award shows, everyone does, watching award shows on TV, especially the Grammys, which I think, you know, if you're into music, that's like the one award show most people want to go to. And was that a pretty awesome experience, having that for the first time?
That whole experience was incredible. The man that does my entrance music, that a lot of people are really happy about, the Big Pressure track, he got nominated for his work that he did on the Kanye West Donda album. So he ended up winning two Grammys that day for his song. He did Jail. He produced Jail on the Donda album, and he produced Hurricane, which had a feature from The Weeknd on the Donda album for Kanye West. So that was arranged for me and Flash. I was just in LA for like 12 days, and he was like, hey, we're going to the studio. I'm like, oh, okay. It was like 2 a.m. And we just in the studio till 4 a.m. making Big Pressure, the song, my entrance music for AEW. And he just repaid the favor by just like inviting me to the Grammys in Vegas. So it was literally the day after I did Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And flew to Vegas, had a whole suite just ready, available for me. So I just chilled in a 2-room suite by myself, and then just like ended up going to the Grammys with good people. I met Cootie, who's the guy who directed the Kanye West documentary Genius. Went with Malik Youssef, who's one of Kanye West's right hand men, with like since the College Dropout album, just writing music with him for like 10 plus years now. So I'm just like, I'm in a really great circle when it comes to this industry. And I'm like, once again, I'm just dipped a toe in. Now we're really seeing how far I can really take it. And I'm like, just along for the ride, but I'm ready to change the game on how we see this, not just pro wrestling industry, but this entertainment industry itself.
Yeah. This feels like it's your time. And you think like from a year ago where you were, and to sitting in a suite at the Grammys, to capturing the attention of people on AEW and also fans in other places that you're working too. I think we're at the tip of the iceberg when it comes to like, I think you're gonna have a big year. Everything just seems from the outside that it's really come together nicely, and you know, things happen for a reason. I'm sure, you know, when you got the notice about the release and everything, that there was a little bit of being bummed out, but you know, look at what's happened since then, these opportunities. I think this is going to be a big year for you. It's already been a big year, but it's cool to see somebody with your level of skills and level of daring to try these new things and to dip your toe in and jump in the water in some cases. It's cool to kind of see it fully realized, and also realizing that you were talking about before, you got so much more to go and so many more evolutions to happen. And to the person I'm talking to today is going to be different 5 years from now and 10 years from now. It's cool to see that when an artist kind of gets their opportunity, they take full advantage of it. And we haven't even seen the best of it yet. So congrats for making it so far and getting to the spot.
Thank you very much. And I appreciate the support, man. It's just like, anybody that's doubting, I want to make them look stupid a year from now for doubting and not understanding and not investing in what I'm doing now. You know, there's a lot of people that try to be like the cool, trendy thing to do is just like to be the outside guy, like pointing and putting thumbs down at everything someone does. But like, no, I want like, keep doing that. Keep doing that. That's like only making it makes you, a lot of these guys, a lot of these people look really dumb when they try to jump on when it's too late, when they doubted in the first place. And that's inspiring to me at this point.
Before I let you go, you mentioned your socials before, but go ahead and give some more plugs for where people follow you on social. The album, obviously, Swerve City Podcast next Monday. Tony Khan, I believe is what I saw, comes out on next Monday. Go ahead and plug away. Where should people follow you, buy your merch, all that good stuff? The floor is yours.
YouTube.com/Swerve City Podcast and subscribe now, man. We got the newest episode coming out, episode 52, featuring Tony Khan, talk about AEW, the ups, the downs, the strengths, the weaknesses of the promotion, the things that he's happy about, proud about, you know. Then we get into the football talks. It gets deep, man. It's really good, really insightful. I feel like there's no other interview that he's done out there that is unique to the way that me and Montese on the Swerve City Podcast have done it. So check it out. It's going to be big. It's going to be awesome. While you're there, check out the music videos that we shot that go all the way back to the From Humble Beginnings album with me and Montese from Swerve City, all the way to GPS, to the recently released album, March 18th. We just dropped the Tears album that's available on all streaming platforms with great features from Bridgerton Kane, Flash Garments, and even the R&B legend himself, Music Soul Child. He is featured on the album. Great friend of ours. So check that out and check out my new website, swerveconfident.com, you know, swerveconfident.com for new merch and new designs being added very soon.
Yeah. Good stuff. Looking forward to seeing you more in the ring and on stage, on silver screen, small screen, wherever you are. You're going to hear me live. I'm Swerve Strickland. Thanks so much for coming to my house for a little bit. Now the house is now back to you.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Big thanks to Swerve Strickland for hanging out. We're supposed to talk, like around half an hour or so, and went a little bit over. So yeah, it was a good conversation. Hope you guys enjoyed that. And who knows, a couple of years down the road, but who knows down the road, love to have him back, kind of see how things progress. But I think we're on the cusp of something pretty big. And if AEW really kind of gets behind him and does some of the crossover things that they've mentioned, I remember Tony Khan mentioning they see him as a crossover star, and he has it. I mean, he has that thing, and it's just a question of how they use him. But his in-ring is great, as I mentioned on the show, and obviously if you've seen him, you know this as well. I think the star potential is there. It's crazy. I think the WWE let him go to begin with, but he's working all over the place, staying busy, doing all types of things. And yeah, showing people that you don't have to be just wrestler. It can be a lot of different things, but it's cool. They says, you know, he thinks himself a pro wrestler first, and that's good for the industry, good for us watching as well. So thanks to all you for listening. I know you have a lot of choices in your podcast day. I greatly appreciate the time you spent with me here and with Swerve this week and anywhere you listen to your podcast. Check out his Swerve City podcast as well. Tony Khan coming up, I believe, on Monday as you're listening to this. So yeah, it should be good to listen to. I'm sure I'll be listening as well. And yeah, hopefully we'll be doing a lot more of these in upcoming weeks. Some interesting folks, interesting people I want to talk to and shine a bigger spotlight on. So yeah, this was a fun one. And again, thanks to Shane Strickland, Swerve Strickland, for spending the time today. So again, thank you all. And until next time, insert catchphrase here.